The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its peoples welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I'm going to be going through the gospel lesson, so I don't know if you may want to read through that again with me as we move along this morning. And so it starts off, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Okay, starts off after this. This story follows the story that we read last Sunday. And if you remember that, Jesus was in Samaria and he had turned his face towards Jerusalem. It was coming down to the last push that he was heading towards the cross and the resurrection. There was still some ministry yet to do, but he was headed in that direction. And his thoughts were focused. Last week, if you remember the story, that several people that he had called, some people and other people came up to him and says, "Lord, we want to follow you." And Jesus says, "Yes, come follow me." And they said, "Well, in just a little while, we have other things we need to do." And Jesus basically says, "No, I am heading towards Jerusalem. Join me now." He is focused. He is centered. He is going to do his Father's will, and nothing can detract him. And so this story then picks up after that one. Okay, so Jesus is heading towards Jerusalem, and he sends out 70 of his followers. Now, a little bit earlier in Mark's gospel, Jesus had already sent out his 12 disciples. He sent them out in pairs to go into the towns and villages to proclaim the good news, to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near, to heal and to restore people, to cast out demons. And now, the ministry starts to expand. It's not only the inner circle of the 12 disciples, it's also many of those others that were following along with Jesus. And he sends them out ahead of him. Because again, he's heading towards Jerusalem. And he wants that ministry to get moving, to get going, and to get as many people as possible to hear about the kingdom of God and that the Messiah has arrived. And so he sends them out ahead of him. Verse 2, he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest." Jesus talked in parables a lot of times. He used the plain and the simple, things that people would know about. And most of those people were involved in agriculture. They knew the seasons. They knew what it took, and especially at the harvest season. And y'all know as well then, too, here in a more rural area, of what it means at harvest season, that when the crops are ready, you need to get those crops in. Otherwise, you are not going to get those crops in. Weather's going to happen. Other things are going to happen if you don't get those things in. If you got hay on the ground, you wait until it's dry and you pick it up. If you've got cotton that's ready to be picked or stripped, then you get out there and you do it. Same thing with corn or milo. When that crop is ready, you're going to go out there and you're going to harvest it. Otherwise, you will lose your crop. Jesus is saying here that the harvest is ready. And we can look around our own world and know that the harvest is ready. Think of all the things that are going on in this world today, the evil things, the crime, the murder, the animosity towards one another, the lack of dignity, the lack of humanity that we show towards one another. People just don't understand. Most people have heard of who Jesus is, but they don't understand it. They really have not heard who Jesus actually is and what Christianity is all about. They have preconceived notions. They think they understand. They believe that they think, "I can be religious without being religious. I can believe in a God without doing anything about it." They just simply do not know what Jesus and the power of God's word. They do not know what Jesus can do for them or how Jesus can work through them. The harvest is plentiful. People do not know. They do not understand. The issue is the laborers are few. Who's willing to go out and tell other people? Who is willing to go out and care for other people in the name of Jesus Christ? And that means either telling the story, telling your own story of how Christ has touched your life, or just doing acts of kindness to other people in the name of Jesus Christ, to let them know that that is why we do these things, is because we are followers of Christ. Another thing here then too, another thing to pick up on, is the laborers are few, is that churches all across America, different across the different denominations, are in need of clergy. There are simply not enough pastors going around. There are a lot of pastors that are my age, or maybe even a little older, a little younger, who are getting close to retirement age, and eventually there's going to be a lot of pastors gone, and we do not have enough younger people in the seminaries. I encourage you, for you to encourage your children, to encourage your grandchildren, to maybe consider a lifelong ministry within the ordained clergy. And again, this text is not just about ordained people, professional people, but this is about each and every person that we are called to go out and gather in the harvest, to go out and proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ. These 70, Jesus had been talking, well, let me back up. Jesus had been talking, had been ministering, and the 12 disciples had been around him for almost 3 years. The 70, many of those had been around a long time. Many of those have not. Some of these were newbies. Some of these didn't have skills or didn't think they had the skills, but yet they still went. Okay, verse 3, go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. And there is danger. There are people who are very antagonistic against Christians. There are still martyrs in this world, people who die because of their faith, that they are condemned to death and they do die, are thrown into prison, are tortured. because they believe in Jesus Christ. It's not always easy being a Christian. It's work. It's tough. Sometimes you will be rejected. Sometimes people don't want to listen to you. Sometimes people are just flat out mean. It is hard to do ministry. But don't let that stop you, because the Spirit of the Lord is with us. The Spirit of the Lord is with you as you go out. Okay. Verse 4, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Again, this is a focused ministry. Jesus sends him out just for a specific time to a specific place, and he gives them a specific task. Don't get sidetracked. Go do what the Lord told you to do. Just go out there and trust in the Lord that all these things that you normally think of, that you worry about, food, clothing, shelter, family, all these other things, God will provide. God will take care of you. He will see that you don't starve. Go out and do the ministry. Whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in this peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. You know, it's always amazing to me in that culture, in that day and time, that, you know, there weren't a whole lot of hotels or inns or places that visitors could stay if they're coming from out of town. And so people would welcome strangers into their homes, into their actual homes. It may provide them a little bit of income sometimes, or other times they would just welcome other people into the homes. They enjoyed the news from somebody else. And so think about the people here who welcomed these 70 into their homes, of the conversations that they had, of the talk that they had, that of that exciting story of Jesus. And these are representatives of Jesus who have come to proclaim to their town, to minister to this town. How much it uplifts the prestige of that household to honor such guests in their own home. Think of the conversations then too when miracles start to happen, when people are cured, when demons are released, when the blind are given sight once again. Think of the excitement in those homes, of what's going on in those homes. And it says here, Jesus told them to bless the house, bless them with peace. But if that peace is not accepted, if it is rejected, that peace will return to you. The peace is not lost, because the kingdom of God has come near. That peace is still there. So even as you go out and you do ministry, even though you may be rejected, even though that people don't want to hear what you have to say, you still have that peace of God. It is still with you. That peace is still there. Verse 7, remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Again, rely upon the Lord. Rely upon those who are committed to the Lord. Put your trust in God and be content with what you have. Your worries of this world should not be of this world. The things that we normally worry about, that we really concerns us, of home, family, shelter, people around us, our friends, all this stuff that we see here on this earth will not last on this earth, but what will last is our souls, is us, those who believe. God has promised eternal life, and in the end, everything will turn out into God's hands. God is love, and God will protect us. And so don't worry about the things of this life. Yes, we do need to take care of things in this life, but at the same time, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to believe in Jesus Christ and know that the kingdom of God has come near. Verse 9, cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. All right, so here's the command, that they are to cure the sick. And that the sick could be anybody with a physical ailment, physically sick with diseases, with injuries, maybe those that have been born with maybe birth defects, but then also, too, all the mental and emotional sickness that we go through. God is able to heal us, but He also gives us the power to heal other people, to bless people. Sometimes we may not think that we can perform miracles, but you never know what will happen when you pray for somebody. You do not know if they're going to immediately get better, or maybe a little longer they will get better. Maybe you pray for nurses and doctors to guide the hands of those who are sick. We don't know what's going to happen in however God, whatever God's will is in that way. But there is a promise that we will be made well. We will be made well. We will be whole, and we will be living with God. So God sends us out to proclaim that message of healing, and we do that by being there. Maybe you do have the skills to heal. Maybe you just have the skills to listen to somebody. Maybe you simply have the skills to be there and let someone know that you honestly do care about them. Okay, let's see. Verse 10. But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of the town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. There will be rejection. There will be people who don't want to hear this. There will be people who this story of love, this story of grace, this story of mercy will scare them, and they will be full of fear. There will be rejection from time to time. And Jesus says, you know, if that happens, shake the dust off. It basically means leave all that behind you. Don't carry it along with you. Don't take that as a personal rejection, because the peace of the Lord will remain with you. And the kingdom of God has still come near to that place. Even though they may reject you or not welcome the message of Jesus Christ at that point, you're basically there to plant a seed. Maybe that seed will sprout in a few days after they have time to think about all those things that you have said or you have done in your ministry to them. Maybe it'll take a few years even for that seed to sprout. But maybe one day it will sprout. They'll remember that time. They'll remember that those acts of kindness that you did for them. And they'll realize that that was God's hand working through you. We don't always see the results of our ministry, but it's still there. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God has come near. The peace of the Lord is still with you. 16. Whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Think about the power in that. What we say and do in our ministry is coming through us from the Spirit, coming to us through Jesus Christ, coming to us from God the Father. It is flowing through us to do ministry to other people. Think of the power of that. Think of the power that God has given you to lift up other people. Some people will graciously accept that and be overjoyed. Other people will reject that. But they're not only rejecting you, they are also rejecting God. 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us. I think those who are the 70, those who went out on this journey, were probably just as surprised at what they could do as to the people who were on the receiving end, those who had demons cast out of them. I imagine those disciples who cast out the demons were just as shocked and surprised as those who were healed. There is joy in ministry. It is wonderful to see people lifted up, to see people healed, to see people taken care of, to put a smile on somebody's face because they are blessed. and because you have been a blessing to them. There is joy in ministry to be able to do that, to take part in those things. And these disciples coming back were just overjoyed. They were amazed and they were excited. They had to tell Jesus all the things that had happened. Jesus too catches on that excitement when he says here in 18, he said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Christ is able to conquer everything. And to see his followers being able to cast out Satan, to lift people up, gives Jesus joy as well then too. It is infectious. This joy of ministry is infectious. 19. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of an enemy, and nothing will hurt you. We do have problems here on this earth. Yes, we still have sickness, we have disease, we have injuries. You know, this weekend we hear all that very tragic news of the flooding up in the hill country. Yes, there are dangers still in this world and they affect us. But in the end, God still wins. God still wins. And we will not be hurt, but we will be given full eternal life. And here on this earth, as we are doing ministry, yes, we may be rejected. There are people who are willing to give up their life to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. But as you read the stories of martyrs, many times as they are dying, they are still giving thanks and praise to God. They are simply not hurt. The things of this world cannot hurt them. And 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice at this that your spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. God never forgets us. He has us written down. He knows who we are. He blesses us. He enriches us. He gives us the gift for ministry. Christ calls to us, take up your cross and follow me with that same dedication that Jesus Christ went to the cross for us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.